Oh, Mrs. Salmon. This is right. There's a seat over here. Do you want a handout? Have you got handouts there? There's some handouts at the back there. Do you want to? Shall I actually give you one there? Great. Well, look, what I'm doing, I'm presuming three things as we kind of think about this subject together, that we love the Lord Jesus and we want to see his name honored. I'm also presuming that we want to share the good news of Jesus with people. And I'm also presuming that we find it hard. Those are kind of the kind of three presumptions. So if that fills in the category, we want Jesus to be honored. We actually want to be better equipped at doing it. And actually, we don't always find it easy. All right? So that's the case. And I came across this diagram about the four stages of learning actually any new skill or developing any new healthy habit. And I found it really, really helpful. So it starts off with there's a missing C though, unconscious incompetence. So in other words, you don't know, you're incompetent actually, and you don't know that you're incompetent. You haven't got the skills and you don't know you've got the skills. Children are naturally, in all sorts of ways, have this great unconscious incompetence. But then the next stage comes this kind of conscious incompetence. So you haven't got the skills or the ability, but now that you've made progress, actually you realize that you've got stuff to learn. And then there comes the next stage, conscious competence. So the trouble is you're getting better able at managing this skill and you're conscious, but you're having to think quite hard about how you're doing. It's not sort of, it's not natural, okay? And then actually, the goal on any kind of good habit or skill is unconscious competence. So for those of us who drive, you know, I never have to think, oh, what am I doing when I get in the car? You know, I have to have just go and do it. You know, some people like that with cooking. For me, I'm kind of, on cooking, I'm sort of, I don't know which I am, certainly not unconscious competence. You know? So we'll have different skills and different habits. And I just think, let's think about that, and which I want us to be doing in a moment, and think, oh, where am I on this? On this skill of sharing Christ. Because actually, let's think about it generally. So some new converts actually are oblivious to the depths of their incompetence in sharing their faith with others and all the barriers and difficulties that actually most of us are only too aware about. They just dive in and give it a go. Wonderfully, and extraordinarily, God gloriously often blesses that enthusiasm. Of the unconscious incompetence of the new convert. And extraordinarily, I've seen God do that. But actually, very quickly, once people have been Christians for a while, they become aware, actually, of the hard questions or the indifference which some people respond when you try and share your faith. You know, the people are not very always thrilled that you're doing that. And they become conscious of kind of the barriers to sharing the gospel. Most of us actually, I think, relate to our own feelings about lack of competence. And I think actually this is where things get risky, because I think this is often the point where people can, or we can, tend to, well, we never say give up, but we're not making it up. Kind of priority to constantly think about how we can be better at sharing our faith. But if we persevere in actively trying to share our faith, we become conscious actually of our growing, oh, I'm getting a bit better at this. And then actually the deal is that we'd love to get, and I don't think any of us will feel that we're there, is when actually opportunities are rising and we're sharing. But that is what I think we'll try to get to. That it's almost we're getting to a way of life, a way of thinking, that we are just, when the opportunities arise and we're aware of opportunities, that we're seeking to take them and know how to take them. Okay? So what I just thought it would be good to do is just in your in groups of three or four around the tables or wherever you are, just think, where would you put yourself in this diagram at the moment? And so, and this is not to make anybody feel bad or thing, but it's just actually quite interesting to find out in your little group how many, you know, if you think of a, let's say a 12-month period, how many kind of decent, you know, conversations with non-Christian people have we had who aren't family members or, you know, or maybe with family members. But just generally think, how many have I been having? And there is no kind of, it's just for us to be honest, okay? There's no prizes. nobody's going to think any better of anybody with you, no more. But I just think if we can have that level of kind of honesty and realism, that would just help us to think. Because what we're wanting to do, I think, from this afternoon and next week, is just, can we just get ourselves that we feel a little bit more confident, a little bit better, okay? That's the aim, is we want to be making progress. We're not going to end up with little Billy Grahams at the end of it. So. All right? Okay, so five or so minutes just chatting groups on. Let's look at the scriptures together. I've put a passage on the handout, which I love. It's on top of the second page from Paul's letter to the Colossians, and it's right there. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul asks for prayer, for opportunity to share Christ, and that he might do it clearly. And it's a reminder to us right at the beginning that this work of sharing our faith, sharing, talking about Christ, is ultimately God's work, not ours. Who creates the opportunities is God, ultimately, not us. Which I think, and we're going to be thinking later on, actually takes a lot of the pressure off. What we are, I think, seeking to do is make ourselves available and looking for opportunities, but we don't have to create the opportunities. God will create the opportunities. That he'll open the door. And so that we'll think about that a little bit more. And then second, so Paul asks for that God may open a door, and then he also asks that he may proclaim it clearly, that he may proclaim it clearly. But then Paul expects all Christians to be involved in this task too. He's not changing subject in verse 5. So the command to be wise and make the most of every opportunity is given to all the Christians in Colossae, not just the ministers and the evangelists. And I just find this such an encouraging verse, because, I mean, what I think I think it's helpful to realize is that God wants all his people to share their faith in Jesus with others and to make the opportunities that he puts before us. Some may be kind of more gifted and it comes naturally and better able to do it. But he wants all of us to be prepared. And the point is, he will use us. You know, it's the thing. God, of course, could. He could get the angels to do it. And sometimes you have a wonderful example of people doing it, I mean, through dreams. Lots of Muslims, you hear, through dreams and that they first kind of are made to think and hear the gospel. God can That's how he sometimes does do it. But generally, the purpose, he likes to use his people. He involves us in his work. It's, in other words, it's a bit like prayer. Why does God use, ordain prayer by the way he works? I mean, we believe in the sovereign God. He's going to do what he's going to do. But, well, the reason is that he wants us to be involved in his work. Prayer is the way that we express our faith. The chief expression of faith is Calvin. And actually, in one sense, gospeling is like that. It's one of the ways that we do it. So I think it's because a helpful thing for some mindset for us all to be whatever, whoever we are, actually God wants to use me as the person I am in the situations he has put me in. And actually, if that's the case, there's nobody else like me around because and nobody's going to be in exactly the situation I'm in. I am his ambassador. I am his person to reach these people and the other people we naturally come across. So, you know, when you people often say churches are, you know, they need to, churches are too inward looking. True churches are never inward looking. Churches are always out in the community. We only, if you think about it, we only gather at church for what? We may do a home group on a Sunday. You know, here we'll be for a few hours. The rest of the time, we're out in society, we're out in the world, and we're available. And God will use us. So I think that's he will use us, and he also wants us to make the most of every opportunity that we're given. So I think it's those two things. God will want to use us, and there is nothing defective about the gospel. The gospel is wonderful. It's very powerful. You can see the power of the gospel all around here. All of us have been come to Christ, come to know Christ through this good news about Jesus. And also, there's nothing defective about the Holy Spirit who lives in all of Christ's people. And Christ is committed to building his church and is committed to using ordinary people to do it. So we just need to be prepared, prayerful, and intentional. That's what our role is to be, prayerful, prepared, and intentional. So I think the first step, then, I think, in how to share Jesus in everyday conversation is to realize that God wants us to do just that. He specifically wants us to use us in that work. And I think sometimes that even that is quite a gear change. God wants to use me. He wants to use you in the place where he's put you, in your family, in your amongst your street, in your road, wherever you are, in the people where you're going to meet in the supermarket or you'll bump to on a train or whatever. And I think that's the second step is to consciously pray for opportunities. Dear God, please give me opportunities to speak of you with others, and please don't be subtle with me. That is a great prayer to pray. And my experience in life, it is quite extraordinary, is that when I have set myself to pray that regularly, I have more opportunities than I can think. And when I don't, I don't. And I just find that just extraordinary. When I'm actually trying to pray, and I'm just wondering, that's actually something which would be very good for us to be doing in home groups. The trouble is, you don't want to make it like competitive. And that's the trouble is, we are very bad as Christians. We always kind of get something. And we're not very good at rejoicing with those rejoice and mourning with those when it comes to evangelism. But I just think if we can be encouraging ourselves in our home groups and on a Sunday, to pray that prayer and to be looking for opportunities, I think we're going to be halfway there in gospeling the gospel and being more effective. And maybe that's something the elders think about. You know, actually, can we try? So that actually our mindset is, I'm always on duty when it comes to being a Christ ambassador. Yeah. But having done that, you know, how can we try and share Jesus in everyday conversation? And can I say that I'm focusing, I'm not thinking, we can talk about this generally, I'm not talking about in kind of family situations. I think there's a whole different dynamic there in trying to witness in families. I think it's, sorry, I'm talking about close family. Yeah, not sort of distant relatives, but I think close family. I think there's just different factors at play, and we can talk about that. It'll be a good conversation to do. But that's not how I'm going to be pitching what I'm doing. But let's talk about that when it comes to kind of question time at the end, right? And we've got next week as well, which we can also continue to do. So. Happy? So look, I'm just thinking of three things that we're going to talk about. Asking questions, tell your story, tell Jesus' story, all right? And that's kind of the ground I want us to cover this week and next week. And we'll just see how we get on. So first, ask questions. So I think prayerfully ask God questions when meeting somebody. So I think if we're praying that prayer each day, Lord, you know, I'm here, I'm available, please use me for your glory. You know, give me, please give me opportunities to speak of Jesus. Don't be subtle with me. Help me to be alive. If I am praying that, we will meet somebody. So I'll give you a classic. Happened to me today, okay? We talked about witness. I knew I was coming on that. Saw the quiz. Walking on the street, bumped into a neighbor. And I thought, oh, I can talk to him about the quiz night. Now, I'm sure if I passed him three or four times, I wouldn't have done it. I just did it, you know, this is between morning service and lunch. Why? Because I was reminded. I've been praying, I was thinking about it, and therefore it was forefront of my mind, and therefore it was an opportunity to invite him to the quiz night. I think he's busy, I don't think he can come. But it's just, you know, how do we do that so that we are, and it's so much more fun and exciting when there are, we're thinking about these opportunities. So I think prayerfully ask God questions when meeting someone. Lord, how can I bless this person? Lord, what are you wanting me to do in this person's life? Lord, is this an opportunity? So we are praying those kind of arrow prayers constantly, Lord. And you have a conversation. Bring God into your relationships. But then ask the person you're meeting questions. And I just think this is the most important thing in, I think, gospeling the gospel, is actually, it's just asking questions. So I can remember somebody saying, if you had, you know, 45 minutes, I think it was John Stott, somebody else, John Stott once, if you had 45 minutes to explain the gospel, what would you say? And he said, I think I'd spend 40 minutes asking questions. And then 5 minutes, that's explaining the gospel. Because actually, if we're going to want to gossip the gospel with people, we need to know what they're thinking and what's life like for them and what's going on in their lives. We're not going to be able to adequately share Christ or, you know which bit of the gospel they'll be most inclined to kind of latch on to or find acceptable unless we know what's going on in them. So I think the key is to ask the right questions of people and to listen. I'm a talker, so I'm not brilliant, you know. But having to learn, I think, in evangelism, you know, you know whether you're a talker or a listener, generally by tendency, temperament. And I think those of us who are talkers, it's really important that they at this point become concentrate hard on being a listener. And some of us listeners, well, the sort of talking that we need to be doing is a asking questions. And I just thought, you know, how we do that. And I think, as I said, the key to asking the right questions to people is to listen to them. Just that question, you know, it'd be quite good again to chat amongst, you know, chipping ideas. How do we show, I've just put three, I'm sure there are more, how do we show that we're listening to somebody? Yeah, is it, you know, you focus on that, you're not kind of overlooking your shoulder at other, you know, who else is in the room, you don't get distracted. You focus on them, you listen to them, yeah. Thank you, Leslie. Yeah, repeating that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah. 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 That's a great answer. Yeah. Well, if you get accosted, you know, if everybody accosted, that's a very, try that one. Thank you very much for sure. Yeah, no, it is. So it is, I think, affirming what they say, and not, I think, as you say, not interrupting. Absolutely. Yeah. But asking questions of people about the lies. I mean, it's very rare to come across somebody who isn't happy to talk. You know, somebody's showing a really genuine interest in somebody, and people can show whether it's a genuine interest. People often happy to talk if somebody's, you know, says, "Oh, what's that like?" And you just try and find things. And from that, you will get. Well, we'll come on to the questions that you can ask. You can then think, oh, that might be something I can ask somebody. But I think it's just that willingness just to get in a conversation. And if you find it difficult, you know, the secret of being a good conversation is just to ask questions. I think, of people, and people want to chat. And it's written, people are interesting. I don't know about, I find people are generally interesting. You ask people, you find out more about them. And then I think once we do that, when you feel the connection, there are questions that you can ask. And what I've put down, I put examples of questions. These are ones which I often use. So somebody has talked about some kind of horrific thing, or they've talked about some health issue or something. And you know, generally, you can just say, look, again, it wouldn't be too early, but if you feel that, like, I actually believe in the prayer, would you like me to pray about the situation with you? I'm happy to do that now. And that's something, you know, it doesn't have to be a Christian for you to pray. And I'm praying, I'm meaning it. I want lovely for God to intervene in there. In their life. That's something that you could do. And that's certainly, you're bringing God into that situation for them, aren't you? You know, ask somebody, let me pray about that. Or I often, do you have a faith? And again, it's kind of the tone I say, do you have a faith? I mean, yes, no. And then again, I can ask more questions about, yeah, if they say yes. So, What's it like? Tell me what you believe about God. I find that a helpful question. I think it's a non-judgmental. Do you have a faith? Those would be one. Do you feel you have a relationship with God? And then the answer, how does that work out? Tell me about it. And what do you think is the biggest barrier to you believing God? I mean, that's going on. a bigger knot. These are questions that people may or may not have. And then, if you feel people are really interested, you can ask people this: would you like to come to church with me one Sunday? And then I'll say the yes or no. I sometimes meet up with people to talk about life and faith and look at a story from Jesus' life together. Would you like to do that with me? And it's a very, if people, if you get it, if they say they're interested and they're sharing, to actually say, would you like to read the Bible? And we'll talk about how you can do that. You know, you as a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus, you will know a lot more than, you may feel like, I don't know, but you will know an awful lot more than the person you're talking about, who used to read the Bible. So just, why don't we look at this together? You don't need a theology degree or feel competent to do it. You're just looking at the scriptures together. Very simple to do. I would often go with the Gospels. I read the Bible. Remember Saif, who came along a bit for him, because he was from a Muslim background. I said, well, you know, he was very keen to read. I just said, well, why don't we start at the beginning of Luke's Gospel? So we just met up, and he was happy to do that for every week for a bit. But if I'm going to get it just for one person, I will do, depending on who it's with. So somebody from an Asian background, a Muslim background, I'll often go with Luke's Gospel because it has a very clear start, beginning, end. And there are particular parables in that. The Pharisee and the publican, with somebody from a Muslim background, because it gets a distinction between, you know, a very righteous person. I think that you can show that a difference. Or the Luke 7, the Pharisee, Jesus anointing the simple woman, or anointed by the simple woman. That one. Those are all the two I go for that. For somebody who's had a church background, so people have been kind of quite churchy, I'll often go to John's Gospel because of it's so much the teaching about Jesus' claims about himself. For people who know nothing about Jesus, literally nothing, I think, you know, I just go for Mark's Gospel because it's quite short and it's got lots of accounts. I'm from somebody from any from really from a Jewish background. I always go to Matthew's Gospel. Yeah. Anybody else got other questions? I think be prepared, as our verse in Colossians says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Okay. Should we work back into groups again? Should we do that for a few more minutes? That's those questions I've put out into. We could break out groups. How intentional are we about sharing our faith and praying regularly for opportunities? You know, just let's be honest. Is that something that we, you know, is part of our, we try and put on a front burner? what could we do to do that? How convinced are you that God wants to and will use you? And share other questions that you've used to share Christ. If we spent the rest of our time this afternoon doing that, I think actually that's most probably time well spent. And then we can try and see how we put it in practice. So I think rather than going on to the next one, which we'll do next week, I think let's spend a good, and then we'll come back. So you've got good 12 minutes doing that, and then we'll spend the last 10 minutes kind of sharing what we've picked up in groups. All right? How do we get on? Any kind of other questions that people, I think that would be the most useful thing to share as we finish off. What would be other questions that people ask to help get the conversation? Isaac, you go on. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and you take the cues. I mean, if you're listening carefully to people, you get the cues of whether they want to talk or not. So it's You know, and if they don't want to talk, they're feeling defensive, I don't go pushing then. You know, or I might have another one. But if they're saying, I don't want to talk to you about this, or this is uncomfortable, then to keep on pushing at that door then, I think I'm not being respectful. I'm not. It's not my job to ram it down their throat. You know, that's not treating people with grace, I don't think. In conversation, we're told, you know, teaching people's grace. But to kind of go far, so if they kind of normal, I don't have that. Is that because you had a bad experience of church? So I often will talk about that. What was your experience of church or being of Christians? Now that's and then brings another whole realm of times of chat. Did it? And then you could ask, do you find that when you're in church, was it focus about Jesus? Because I think it's the most wonderful. I mean, it's because Christianity, it's in the name. It's all about Jesus. Do you feel that you know much about him? And then the one or two questions I might say. I say that most people's, you know, if they've had a church background, I say most people's knowledge of Christianity was of about an 8 or 9 or 10 year old. But that's the last time they had any serious instruction about him. And, you know, so that might be something I just throw out. Like, do you think that's a you? Yeah. And, you know, if you feel that they're biting, I might go a bit more. If they're not, pull back. And you've kept the relationship good, but then you know a bit about them, you know more. And then if we keep on showing an interest in people and we try and do good where we can, you know, and try and be a good neighbor or a good, you have people come and do some work in your house. If you can give them a cup of tea and ask them questions. You know, we come across people in so many different ways. There will be opportunities. Yeah. Is it a good question? It's a question I mean, yeah. If I was doing sort of cold call evangelism, you know, in the high street, that sort of a, you know, going into the marketplace, where you're not actually seeking to build, you do want to try and seek build relationships, you would have that conversation, but you're being very much on the front foot. I think that is that's one of the questions. It was a thing called evangelism explosion. That was a kind of standard question that people ask. It's a good question. But I think the most effective conversations I've had in people is not kind of lobbing the gospel at people and then running off or trying to. Sometimes you're not always. treating with people respect. It's a heart thing. You know, that's right. It is great to have those frontline street preachers doing it. I find myself the most effective way that I have been in terms of sharing my faith is building relationships with people. But all the people I'm seeking to build a relationship with, I'm also wanting to try and share Christ with. And some of those people show interest and come, you know, continue. And that are interested and want to take it further, and others don't. And if they don't want to, you know, that's there. I've sought to be a good friend to them. So if I want to be the best friend I can be to people, I want to share Christ with them. And that means, developing relationships with people. And I think we can do that, and it's something to pray about. It may be a good thing to, we'll stop at the moment. I think possibly a good thing, an exercise before we do next week, is just to think. I think if we just, because hopefully we're thinking about it now because we've had this session, I imagine if we, all of us, even those, I was talking to John, he's saying, well, I work on my own, I'm focused, I really don't meet many non-Christians. It'd be quite interesting to think, almost take a log. We can think of who are the people that we have. It'd be quite interesting just just a thing. Who are the people who we think don't know, who we come across, who we've met or could have a conversation with? And we'll talk about that next week. I think it'd be a useful thing. I think there's always more than we think there is, actually. Yeah. Why don't we just finish off by two or three of us just pray home and let's things that we've been thinking about, and then we'll call today. Thank you that you long, that you use us and you long for us to be concerned for your glory above all else. And please help us to live that way. We just acknowledge that so often we get so distracted by things that are of such secondary importance compared to knowing you and your glory, and the honour of your name. And we do pray that just this week you will keep reminding us of your greatness, which no one can fathom. And yet you have enabled us to know you and to call you Father. It's the most wonderful privilege. Help us to have those opportunities to commend you to others this week. Thank you all very, very much for coming. And let's be praying. And next week we'll have a chance. We'll be thinking particularly about how we can tell his story by telling our story, of which we are all experts, by the way. So that's why it's a good means of explaining the gospel. Okay. Thank you very much.